This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bringing you the best news and views.
You're with Dean Beck.
Joy 94.9.
Well, it is the middle of the month, 18th of February. That means on our streets is a new edition of Star Observer magazine. We are joined by Matthew Wade, Melbourne journalist for Star Observer. Welcome, sir.
Hi, Dean. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. Another great issue from your crew. And finally, your editor has put in a nice picture of himself. So that's lovely to see. Now, what are we leading with today? I've got stuff everywhere here. Now this is amazing. ACL, as we've spoken earlier today, have been on a relentless campaign to stick it up all of us, and they continued their journey with minus 18 and the formal. Tell us what happened, and I'll then bring us up to date on the latest.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, basically, I guess there was a Facebook group that was started called Stop Safe Schools Coalition. Which I mean, basically the primary purpose was to criticize the resources that Safe Schools Coalition have been providing for high schools. And I guess by extension, also some of the work that they've done with Minus 18. And Minus 18 have an upcoming same-sex formal, which this Facebook group has tried to, I guess, encourage kids not to go to by getting people to buy, I guess, dummy tickets. So buying tickets to the formal so that kids actually can't go.
So they wanted to buy up all the tickets and then no one would turn up.
And so no one would turn up. So the tickets were just being bought as a way to protect, like, quote-unquote, the youth from, you know, being corrupted or going to these things.
It's a very bizarre way to protest.
Yes.
Anyway.
However, I mean, even though that's been happening, you know, Minus 18 have actually had their own kind of crowdfunding campaign going, trying to get, I guess, people to help sponsor kids to visit the formal. So you can donate some money and that money will be used for, you know, teens to be able to go who may not have been able to otherwise.
And they wanted $15,000 in their little crowdfunding campaign. Yeah. Now, it was only launched on Monday, I think.
Very recently, yeah, a few days ago. Yeah.
Today's Thursday, and their $15,000 has transformed into $44,360.
Yeah.
I reckon every kid can go for free.
That's amazing. In all of Australia, to be honest, they can travel the moon.
We can all go. Everyone can. Let's all go. Fantastic.
It's really incredible.
What a beautiful story.
Mm-hmm. And it's almost like a bit laughable because, you know, the primary purpose of this original group was to be like, we're going to buy these tickets and no one can go. But then ultimately it shows that they were a minority and everyone else is basically like supporting, you know, young people trying to go to this formal. So it's really nice. It was heartwarming to see.
Well, I hope Minus 18 use their community support and their funds wisely. Mm-hmm. And well done to them for making it happen. Well done to our community for responding accordingly and all of those that support us. Ultimately, it's a win for us.
Definitely. Although in saying that, you know, Stop Safe Schools, they're still, I mean, I looked this morning, they're still regularly updating with posts trying to...
Honestly.
Relentless.
Yeah, because we're brainwashing children to be poofters. Now, there's a report that shows that Aboriginal lesbians are facing cultural barriers, forcing them into isolation and having mental health issues. This is not good.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's one of those communities that I feel like are very underrepresented and are hardly talked about when it comes to LGBTI issues. And, you know, recently there was a Resilient Individuals report which had a section on, you know, Indigenous, you know, LGBTI people, and in particular women. There's a community group called Indigiles who basically host retreats and get Aboriginal women together to talk about the issues, and kind of they were the ones that kind of contributed to this report. And basically, like, I was talking to the founder of the group and she was saying that, you know, because of the way the traditions of people in that community, it can make it increasingly hard for Aboriginal lesbians to openly express themselves more so than it would be for instance, someone not in that community. Like she was saying, you know, we're basically a minority on top of a minority. And because of those barriers, you know, the retreats that they've held, all the women, like, universally have said that they feel isolated and they've all kind of experienced some form of mental health issues. So... I guess expressing that hopefully highlights the fact that, like, that's an area that really needs to be addressed because no one really kind of seems to be focusing on that.
Yeah, I think it's lesbian health issues are under researched.
Yep.
And clearly, as a sort of part subsection of that, and we all know that Aboriginal health is a major concern for our nation. So it kind of makes sad sense. Let's hope we can do something about it. Now, a study finds that recreational drug use in the gay community is high, but dependency is low.
Yeah,
I find this fascinating.
So it's essentially was the largest study of drug use among gay and bisexual men in Australia. And I guess the results were that recreational drug use, both legal and illicit drugs, was quite high. So, it suggested that over 3/4 of the men in the study, and there was nearly 3,000 men, had used illicit drugs at some stage, with over half reporting having done so within the last 6 months. However, I feel like written over the last 12 months, there's been quite a lot of reports about and media coverage around the idea of like this ICE epidemic, or there's a lot of crystal meth use. But the study actually found that there's only like a small minority of respondents that actually reported using it. And even then, and some of them,
which in itself raises questions, because I think that's underreported. But
well, that's true as well. Yeah.
However, they started down the right path by doing this survey online. Mm-hmm. So that was a good start. Hats off to Kirby for that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd put more work needs to be done here.
Definitely. A little note, I agree.
Now, there's renewed calls for, this came out of the ABC Four Corners report, new calls for proper pill testing facilities at raves and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, as you mentioned, there was a Four Corners report recently, early this week, I think, that was investigating drug-related deaths, and there was talks about, the need for pill testing trials in Victoria. And I guess as a result, the Victorian AIDS Council and Harm Reduction Victoria, looking at it from, I guess, more of a gay angle, have said, we really do need, state-based pill testing trials, putting them in parties and events, operated by trained staff, give amphetamines that people that are using drugs are able to do so in a safe way and actually know what they're actually taking.
And, I know we don't have safe injecting rooms, but wouldn't it be great if there was some sort of a drop-in centre that you could go into to get your pills tested before the weekend or whatever?
Yeah.
The unit is about $50,000 to get the proper one.
Yeah.
But, they should be dotted around everywhere.
Definitely.
Stop people dropping around everywhere.
Well, that's exactly right. That's what the report was about, people that have been dying from these, like, overdose and taking the wrong things. So I think, as much as people are quick to be like, people shouldn't be taking drugs, I think the important focus should be on actually making sure that people that are taking drugs are doing so safely and in a way that wouldn't put them at risk of potentially, dying, like people have been.
We are with Matthew Wade, the Melbourne journalist for Star Observer, and the latest publication is On Our Streets. I've got a copy in my hot little hand. It is the Mardi Gras edition. It features Deborah Cox on the cover, who's looking to touch Beyonce just quietly.
She's definitely channeling Beyonce, but she's in her own lane. She's been around for longer than Beyonce has, I feel like. Yes.
And either that's bloody good photoshopping or she's holding up well. But she looks great. We've got a feature story on the diva Tina Arena. But also, we've got, I notice, Julie McCrossan is your closet case for this month.
Yes. So we've just got a star-studded issue, this one in particular, Dean. Like you mentioned, Tina Arena, Deborah Cox, Melissa Etheridge, Julie McCrossan. A lot of Mardi Gras-centric articles given the upcoming festival. And we've also got an accompanying Mardi Gras guide as well for anyone that might be heading up there.
Now, Julie McCrossan was, of course, with the ABC, and then she went to the other side, and she's quite religious these days.
Yeah, that's definitely one to look out for. Have you read through it yet, Dean? Or
No, I haven't as yet. No, I'll read it later. We've also got, because it's Mardi Gras, some political angles to Mardi Gras too, with a feature with Alex Greenwich and Tanya Plibersek. They're both in a Sydney pollies, and they've got their own take on it all.
Definitely. Like, I think Tanya was writing about how Mardi Gras, I guess, will make marriage equality, it'll place in the spotlight. Everyone's been talking about marriage equality for quite a while now, but I guess she's saying that because the festival's on, it'll put a renewed focus on that and really put it in the spotlight, which will hopefully give it the, one of the pushes that it kind of needs.
Now, you've done a story on PrEP.
Yeah, it was just about the expanded, well, I guess the shifted trial that was in New South Wales that was announced on World AIDS Day last year, the EPIC New South Wales trial, which will accommodate, I think, 3,700 men that are at risk of acquiring HIV.
And then, of course, it's been emulated here in Victoria and yes. in Queensland as well.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to that. What else we've got in this edition?
Well, upcoming Chill Out Fest, which is the rural, you know, LGBT festival that happens in Daylesford each year. There's a feature on that.
That's, and what else we got? Anything further on Mardi Gras? Cause
a lot of the flashbacks.
Are you going up to Mardi Gras, by the way?
I won't be able to attend, unfortunately. I'm kicking myself.
Star Observer aren't paying for your every existence to be on the ground to cover every breaking moment?
No, the Sydney team will be all across it, I'm sure. They will definitely be there.
All two of them. That's fantastic. Well, look, it's always a good... there's a bit on sport in here too, I notice. The Journey to Eliminate Homophobia in Sport by Dr. Daz Gould. So that'll be interesting. I look forward to reading that. It's just out.
Yeah, it literally just dropped today. So, I mean, even though predominantly it's very Mardi Gras focused, there is a bit for everyone. There's a lot about world news, you know, local news, a snapshot, and a lot of flashbacks as well to previous Mardi Gras festivals.
All of that and lots, lots more in the latest edition of Star Observer. Pick up your copy here from Level 9, 225 Bourke Street, or check out the latest news and current affairs at starobserver.com.au. Matthew Wade, it's always a delight to have you in here.
Thank you.
I always like it when you're in here rather than on the phone.
I know, it's so much better. I agree, Dean. Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining me on the line today. It's been great to have you on board, and you take care. You can follow me on Twitter if you like, at Dean Beck on Air.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.